Please continue to stand and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll be reading verses 4 through 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. Let us hear God's word. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Jesus Christ. Or Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly awaiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thus far ends the reading of God's word. Please be seated. This section deals with Paul giving his opening remarks to the Corinthian church. And as he does so, he begins to touch on a number of subjects that he will address more comprehensively in the rest of the letter. In this particular section, he mentions gifts. He mentions spiritual gifts. And certainly the greatest of all of our gifts is the gift of life eternal in Christ. But this concept of gifts, spiritual gifts given to the body of Christ, is a subject that Paul is going to return to. Chapters 12 and chapter 13 and chapter 14 either directly or indirectly address the ideas of the spiritual gifts that God has given to his church. Paul reminds the Corinthians that these gifts are from him. They have no origin within themselves. He even uses the phrase in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. He even uses the idea that they can be puffed up. Thinking that these gifts somehow come from them or from some other man, some other individual. And that term, puffed up, that's certainly another one of the Corinthians' issues, an issue of pride, an issue of doing things their own way. The phrase puffed up occurs in 1 Corinthians 4, verses 18 and 19, in chapter 5, verse 2, and in chapter 13, verse 4. So it occurs quite frequently. Paul, of course, would want the believers at Corinth to appreciate the magnitude of God's grace to them in Christ. But it is grace that leads believers to humility. It is God's grace demonstrated to believers that leads us to a lack of pride and a desire to praise him for every gift they have, because they begin to realize that every gift they owe to God's goodness. They must not give glory to themselves. And again, if you know a little bit about 1 Corinthians, you know that that's an issue too. You got gifts, you got puffed up and giving glory to yourself. You know, all these things Paul is beginning to address. It's also the case that just as the scriptures exalt that the greatest gift that we have is salvation in Christ Jesus, it's also the same thing that salvation carries with it other gifts that God has given to his church. And here, in our text, beginning at verse 7, he says that you come short in no gift. You lack no gift. Now, we lack no gift as believers. No gift that's needed for our spiritual growth and our entrance into eternal glory. You see, that's because God has designed in Christ a very comprehensive salvation that meets our needs on a multiple different levels. It's not just simply, as important as it is to be saved from our sin, but it's also important, you see, in God's plan that we be made holy in His sight. And it's toward that area of helping us to be more and more holy in God's sight, more and more conformed to His image, that these gifts are given and to be utilized. Verse 7 is saying to all of us that our God ensures by the giving of His word and spiritual gifts that you will be firmly established in your faith. That is not a minor matter. You will persevere. You will increase in your knowledge and your understanding. And that increasing in your knowledge and understanding through His word and these gifts will result eventually in you appearing before God in glory. The good gifts that we have come from the Father above. James 1, verse 17 says that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Every gift God gives to you, and you should not miss this, you is also plural. Every gift He gives to you individually and corporately in the church is good and precious, and full of light from the Father. That means it's designed to benefit your spiritual welfare. I think it's probably a foregone conclusion when Paul here says that you lack no gifts for the purpose of your edification. I think it's a foregone conclusion that he's referring about those gifts that we have just read about in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1 through 11, and again in verses 27 through 31. Let me just remind you of some of those gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church: first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administration, variety of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Earnestly desire the best gifts, and I will show you a more excellent way. Earnestly desire the best gifts. All these gifts are good. All these gifts are beneficial. Some perhaps are better than others, but they're all given so that no one comes short. So that no one lacks, no one experiences a lack of blessing. The word that is used there, it means to experience a lack of, or it can mean to be inferior. The spiritual gifts that God has given to you are sufficient to meet your need. The need of being perfected and edified in your spiritual walk. Their blessing never arrives late to you. There's someone who once quipped, "Yeah, but it seems like sometimes it's 5 minutes before midnight when they come." But they never are late. And they never are of inferior quality. They are always perfectly fit for the need at hand. How true it is that God answers our needs. The most pressing of needs that we have as we go through this life as Christians is to be conformed more and more to our Savior's image. And these gifts are that Paul is mentioning are designed to help to be an addition to the work of the Word of God, to the work of Christ, to the work of the Word of God, and to the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Verse 7 also indicates that these spiritual gifts have a duration to them. Their duration, you see, is not brief in your life. Their duration is not brief. On the contrary, the gifts that believers are given in Christ and in His church, firmly establishing them in utterance and knowledge, are gifts that are operative as we eagerly wait for the revelation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That means those gifts will always be at work in the body of Christ and in your life, always be there to help build and edify the body of Christ until Jesus returns. That begins to bring to us a greater appreciation, not only for these gifts, but how these gifts function in our life. It also brings a greater appreciation for those who have these gifts. Not everybody's an apostle. Not everybody's a prophet. Are they all? No, they're not. All these gifts, the variety of gifts, they're all essential for every individual of God's people to be edified and to be transformed or conformed to the image of Christ. They're all necessary. They're all needed. I mean, if you were to look around in the body of Christ here today and you look at one another and you say, I need that person. I need to be around that person. Because they have something that I don't have. You may not even recognize there's something you lack. But the text says that you have lack of nothing. There's a mutual activity that goes on in the body of Christ, in the fellowship of believers, that's necessary for you. Necessary for your spiritual development. Can you go off by yourself and be by yourself and benefit? Perhaps for a while. But I would say that your spiritual development will be retarded if you do that. And if you are a true believer, you should not want that. Because what you want is your spiritual development to be accelerated so that more and more God's glory might be manifested in you and attract others to the gospel who can also give God glory for Christ. So, these gifts operate in us until the Savior returns. They are essential. They are necessary. They help edify us, and the church doesn't lack these gifts. God has given them to the body of Christ. They have another broadly stated purpose in verse 8. It says, let me read 7 and 8 together. So that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord and Jesus Christ. He will also confirm you to the end. Now, the Lord is pictured there as the word confirm means established. He will establish you firmly in him until the end. And these gifts are part of how God does that. The testimony of Christ in verse 6, which we call the Word of God, the testimony of Christ is there pictured as being confirmed in you. Same word as you get in verse 8. The testimony, the Word of God, confirms you, establishes you in Christ, in faith, in His presence, in His fellowship. And the same thing is said about the gifts. They help establish and confirm you as well in Christ. He confirms you to the end. He confirms you. He is the one who gives gifts for the purpose that you might be blameless in His sight on the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. The purpose, you see, for these gifts is blamelessness, which is another way of saying holiness, that you might have no imperfection, no sinful activity or spot attending to your character. These gifts the Holy Spirit uses in our lives to help us overcome sin and to help us continue to walk holy in His sight, and to be encouraged, and to be confirmed, firmly established, to have our faith, when it's weak, strengthened in Christ Jesus. Can I tell you how all that happens? Can I probe into the realities of how brothers and sisters, by the use of these gifts, with the Spirit's help, and along with the Word of God, as we are God's people, can I tell you how all the ins and outs of how that works? No, I can't do that. I'm just saying it does. And I'm just saying it's not smart. And it's not wise. And it's not holy of God's people. It's not holy of God's people to not want to be a part of that. Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22 reads this way: "But you, who were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in His sight." Of course, Christ is the way of holiness, the way of blamelessness, the way of unreprovable in God's sight. That's His work is important. His work, by faith in His work, you're declared righteous. By faith in His work, the Holy Spirit dwells within you and helps produce the fruits of righteousness, the fruits of blamelessness. By His work, God has given to the church these gifts to benefit the body of Christ. They're not unessential. They're not worthless. They work in tandem with all the things that God has given, so that God's people lack no gift. They have lack of nothing. Nothing that will help strengthen them in Christ and make them blameless on the day of the Lord's return. Christ, the Word, the gifts. It's the Corinthian church which apparently has some difficulty understanding all of this. And they misunderstand it in several different ways. They begin to start thinking of gifts as which are the greatest gifts, which are the most important, which are the most showy, which are the most, you know, and they gravitate to one gift over against the other. Or they gravitate to one individual preacher or teacher over against another. And they forget that what God intends is to use all of the faithful preachers and prophets and apostles and teachers for their benefit. And all of the helps and administrators and other things for their spiritual benefit. All are needed. All are necessary. Because what he gets into in 1 Corinthians 13 is we're all a body. We are not... No, excuse me. 1 Corinthians 12. We're all a body. We're not... And as a body, we're composed of members. And just as the human body functions on an impaired level, if one of their members or more are deficient, so does the spiritual body affect the welfare of the whole body. We lack nothing. And the words of the great hymn, all I have needed, thy hands have provided. And that's because verse 9 says, God is faithful. He is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our God's promises are yes and amen. Because God's promises are linked inseparably to his eternal decree. And his eternal decree is to bring glory to himself by electing some to everlasting life in Christ Jesus. And God fulfills that decree. He calls every believer to fellowship with him, to the fellowship of his Son. He dwells with them, and they dwell with him. And he calls every believer to be holy, as he is holy. The Holy Spirit labors to accomplish our sanctification. And he is the one who is the indwelling encourager, the comforter, the counselor. To individually and corporately perfect the body of Christ. You lack no gift in Christ to make your salvation sure. God has given to you everything, even confirmed your place in eternity. It's sure. You will be able to stand in the day because of Jesus. And you are blessed through the gifts that he has given to the church now. He has firmly established you in Christ's finished death and resurrection, and all God's eternal promises are yes and amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, grant, O Lord, that in the hearts and in the minds of your people, Lord, that there will always be a continuing seeking for greater and greater holiness. It is a quality it is a quality, Lord, that that we are declared righteous in your sight, but it's a quality, Lord, that we can never have enough holiness. It's always, there's always more, because we're endeavoring to do something that only you have. We don't have holiness in and of ourselves. We only have it, Lord, as we seek to believe and to follow you. To that end, Lord, we pray that your saints will make use of the gifts which you have given to each other, even as, Lord, you have brought them to saving faith in Christ. Lord, continue the work in their lives which you have promised, and use those means which you have ordained. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.